We got a treat this afternoon. We're moving into the growth and living steps.
Yay!
We're entering the world of the Spirit. I don't want to be remiss in thanking everybody. This has just been a really wonderful event.
Awesome.
Everybody who brought food, everybody with good humor and cheer. It takes a lot of people to just make something like this happen, and everybody has made it happen, and it's just been wonderful. So. So our after lunch topic is steps 10 and 11, and I won't take up any more of your time.
Thank you, David.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Sammy Griffin. I'm an alcoholic.
Sammy.
My sobriety date is September 1st, 1989, and I have a sponsor, and I have a home group. It's the Bon Air Big Book meeting on Wednesday night, and I'm just happy to be sober. Step 10. This is a great step, guys. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests that we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. That's great, because I'm going to make them. You know, and I may have cleaned up the past, but I'm still going to make some mistakes. We vigorously commence this way of living as we have cleaned up the past. So this is a way of living. It's not a way of quitting drinking. You know, it's a way of living. We have a design of living. We have entered the world of the Spirit. I now have this God conscious going on. I've cleaned up all that, the wreckage of my past. And I'm living today on a different footing. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is so powerful for me, because at this point I'm becoming to the point of understanding instead of being understood. And it makes me very effective. Like today, as a sponsor especially, one of the greatest gifts that I can give someone, actually two of my greatest gifts that I can give anybody, is my time and how I listen. I become a listener. You know, all of us are storytellers. That's what we are. We're storytellers. When someone comes up to me and asks me, you know, something about something specific, I tell them a story. I mean, my sponsees are probably like, oh gosh, here comes another story. But I don't need to get, I don't have direct answers. I can tell you what I've done. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you what I've done. So at this time, I become very effective, because I am more understanding. I talked about it with someone today, a great guy with a great smile. He said, you know, about how I've become compassionate today. You know, and compassion, just to talk about it, is something that I didn't have before, but all my experiences have given me compassion. And so I am effective today. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. Here's the things that I do today. I continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. What are those? Those are my exact natures of my wrongs. When these crop up, because they do, they crop up, here's the things that I do. I ask God to remove it. I discuss it with somebody immediately. I make amends quickly. If I've harmed someone, which I think I want to say something on that too, then I resolutely turn our thoughts to someone that I can help. That's step 11. And 12, love and tolerance of others is our code. I do this as soon as something creeps up on me. And you know what happens? It's going to tell me in the promises. It happens automatically. It just does. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. I mean, I do that without even thinking. It's become second nature, first nature to me. And here's the promises. We have ceased finding anything or anyone, even alcohol. I'm going back to the four step, because that's the promise it gave me in the resentment four step, that I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to retaliate or argue. You know, that I talked about with someone else, to just keep my mouth shut, you know, and God will show me the rest. But I have ceased fighting anything or anyone. For this time, sanity will have returned. I am sane. I'm sane today. I'm not hopeless or helpless. I know the truth about Sammy today. I'm armed facts about myself. I have been returned to sanity. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, recoil from it as from a hot frame. We react sanely and normally. Wow, what a gift. What a gift to react sanely and normally. Now, once in a blue moon, I won't. I'll come out of something. The devil got in me or something. And I'll just, I don't know, someone struck a nerve or something, and it'll come out. And I'm like, oh. And let me tell you about that. It'll go down for the year, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. So it doesn't matter what I'm trying to control. It's not there. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. I've always wanted to feel safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. Where'd it go? Where'd that go? How come I'm reacting sanely and normally? We have not even sworn off. It's been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor afraid. Those are the two opposites. That is our experience. That's how we react so long as we keep a fit spiritual condition. When it talks about being, you know, sane and normally, and this has happened automatically, what has happened to me is my reactions to things have changed, you know, and I can respond differently today or no response at all. And that's what keeps me sane. I know in this big book it says that when I don't do that, I get these absurd and strange reactions, you know, and things that happen to me. And that does happen to me when I don't react sane and normally. I'm the one who pays the price. I'm the one who does that. Not anybody else but me. And it's easy to let up on our spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. What's a laurel? Yeah. In the Roman days, they wore these things called laurels. You know, only the elite wore them. You know, and they didn't have to do anything. They did nothing. So when they say rest on our laurels, they're putting us right back. Do we think we're better than somebody? No, I don't have to do anymore. I can just do nothing and get all the rewards. How many people do you know want what you have, but they are not willing to do what you do? Mm-hmm. That is your laurels. That is resting on your laurels. Because when you see people who have it all, they don't have to do anything for it. You know, I have sponsees. Their husbands are very wealthy. They don't have to work. It took me a long time to be able to, you know, be okay with, you know, instead of looking at them and admiring them and being happy for them, you know. So, and I would react on that. So I don't rest on my laurels because I pay a high price when I do. What we really have, so it says, we are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve, contingent on the maintenance. That's the key word, maintenance of our spiritual condition. So I don't know what your maintenance looks like, but I know what my maintenance mm-hmm. looks like. You know, not everybody does the same thing. I remember at the beginning I would buy maybe 20, you know, things to read in the morning, you know, 20 books, and I realized I can't live up to this. You know, you can set yourself on this, you know, standard of reading it. Every time someone came up to me with a new book, I'm like, oh, I got to have that too, because I wanted it all. But what I do every day is I read page 86 through 88. Mm-hmm. You know, I keep it very simple. I say, you know, my prayers, my third and seven-step prayer. You know, what you do is, you know, your spiritual condition. But have one. It's good to have one. Each day is the day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities, into all my activities. You know, we've talked about this earlier, Christy and I, about it's so great. I've talked about this with many people who are in a job today and they're happy. I'm happy where I'm at. I'm doing something I never even dreamed. I work in a law office for all these lawyers and I love it. I try to be of service in every area there. Usually when my boss calls out my name and I answer, I'm here to serve you. You know, that's how I answer. you know, because I'm here to serve. They all get a kick out of me because, you know, that's how I talk at work. I'm here. What you need, what you need, what you need. Because that's what I'm doing. I'm not looking at, really, the end of the day with the paycheck for some reason. I'm going to work. I love going to work. I very, very rarely miss work. You know, because I'm myself there. I don't have to be so fearful of my boss. You know, I've realized that I'm a part of a team. And there's no I in team. I'm a part of. You know, I don't think less of myself because I don't have their degrees. I'm a part of, you know, and it works really well that way. So I bring into all my activities, how can I best serve thee? Thy will not mine be done. These are thoughts that must go with us constantly. And we can exercise our will power along this line. All we wish is the proper use of the will. So I never knew, what is my will towards God's will? I know today that self-will can't overcome self-will. I tried every way I could. But now today, I align my will with God's will. You know, that's what I try to do. What would God want me to do and what would God want me to be? And if I ask myself those two questions every single day when I come up with a question to myself, I'm going to be aligning my will with God's will. Because see, I know the truth today. It's such great two questions to ask. Because God wants me to be kind first. That's just me. You know, that's the first thing that I have to do is be kind. And what would he want me to do? He wants me to help God's kids. So we're going on the 11th step. So the 10th step just comes automatically to me because I've been practicing it for a long time. You know, if you want to be good at something, we practice, right? There's a good example in Joe McHugh's book about if you want to be a good piano player, what do? You practice playing piano. And over time, you get really good. And now let's say you start slacking off. Who notices that? First of all, he notices it. And then other people start noticing that he's not doing so great. You know, so what we have to do is we have to practice every day. Practice, practice, practice is the key. And so on the 11th step, when Bill Wilson was writing this in the big book, he went to a lot of people to ask them to write this. He went to some spiritual giants, and all of them said, no, man, this is your deal. You need to write it. And it's a good thing, because you know what he did? He gave us great, valuable suggestions. You know, it wasn't written out, you have to do this. It's great, valuable suggestions, and he gives us these four suggestions. First one is when I retire at night. Mm-hmm. I have to look at my life constructively. It didn't say destructively. It says constructively. Now, when I was coming up in AA, we had 11-step partners, and I had one for 8 straight years. And what we do every night is we asked ourselves these questions. Ready? Mm-hmm. Where was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do I owe an apology to someone? Have I kept something to myself that should be discussed with another person at once? Here's the one that I couldn't answer yes to for a long time. Was I kind and loving toward all? You know, even when I was alone, I couldn't answer that yes. What could I have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking about what we could do for others or what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into morbid reflection, which I did a lot. You know, because I did so much harm. I call them my cringe moments. You know, all of a sudden you're riding down the street and all of a sudden something pops up in your mind, because we're powerless, and you just want to, you cringe. I remember, when are those cringe moments ever going to go away? Well, they do, because they are replaced by the good deeds that we do today, really, by what we do today. And so I didn't want to keep going into that morbid reflection, but it was pretty natural for me to do until after a while. Because you know what happens when I talk about it with somebody else and do this list? What happened for me is I remember during the day, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to admit to this person tonight that I just one kind. And I mean, it gave me something to walk towards. You know, I needed that. I needed that to be accountable, to be responsible, and to be accountable for my actions. And when I was doing this 11th step, it was a great thing to do with somebody else. So, and if I am going into morbid reflection, you know that's going to diminish my usefulness to others. When I'm in resentment, I'm not of use to somebody. When I'm in anger, when I'm in fear, what kind of use can I be? After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And then on awakening, and I love this part because this is what I do. I think about the 24 hours ahead. I do. I plan my day. And we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. I am big on those. These three, big. Self-seeking motives, big. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. What, is he insulting me now? You know, all through the book, actually, if you really think about this, you know, we have some titles here. You know, I'm an unlovely creature in the cups of alcoholism. I have a strange mental blank spots, peculiar mental twist. I mean, I'm called a lot of things in this book. And now he's telling me, oh, good, okay, you got some brains, you want to use them? My thought life now becomes on a much better plane when my thinking is cleared of wrong motives. Because it will still come up in me. I'm going to do this so I can do this. You know, I want to be helpful. I remember the first time I went to prison, I was almost 2 years sober. And you know what, I was went to prison, my sponsor asked me to speak out there. I went there, and I left there going, I got to come back and do this because it'll look good on my AA resume. Great motive, wasn't it? You know, it didn't matter about my motive then. I went back and fell in love with working with others out in prison. So it really didn't matter about my motive, did it? So in thinking of now, I may face indecision, you know, and during my day. I'm not able to determine what course to take. We ask God for his inspiration, intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. How many people were frantic like I was? Something came up. If I was going to be late to a meeting, I thought it was the end of the world. If I caught a light, you know, I was just frantic all the time, frantic. And today I just relax and take it easy. There are just no big deals today. I don't make myself such a big deal. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. So what used to be a hunch and occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. And this is where it says this about absurd things. Being still in experience and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in order all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. And I did. I did pay a price. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, because I'm in practice now, I'm in practice, I'm be more and more on the plane of inspiration, and I do rely upon that. So at the end of it, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. I remember I had to put up a sign for that, you know, me and my stickers. When I owned that restaurant, I put it right on the cash register, pause when agitated. People annoyed me, you know? People are my problem. They just annoyed me. And it talks about the 12 and 12 as a character defect. You know, when I'm irritable, you know, I'm anxious, you know? And so I'm getting irritable with people. So I put it on there. I'm going to pause when agitated or doubtful. And we have to remind ourselves, ready, that I'm no longer running the show. It's back to the third step. You know, here I am. Am I in the world to play what God assigns me to do? Or am I just being that actor who wants to run the whole show? Running the whole show, humbly saying to him ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. I used to say that. I still say it, but I would say it like every 10 minutes, you know, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy, you know, I would just constantly, thy will be done, because, you know, I was just, you know, running around like the Tasmanian devil. So this, I love this. I'm in much less danger today. I am of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. And we become much, we become efficient. You know, if I make a mistake at work, it's just a mistake. I don't have to move to another law office. And I make a mistake. It's, you know, that's big for me. So, you know, I become more efficient. And we do not tire so easily. And here's the smallest, I mean, the shortest paragraph in the book. It works. It works. It really does. Okay, I'm going to pass.
Oh. You still have a couple more minutes.
I do?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to say something about, because it will mention, you know, we said that we were willing to go to any lengths, and faith without works is dead. The way my sponsor explained to me about faith without works is dead, because I didn't have any faith at that time that I thought. She said, Sammy, if you're sitting in this room right now, all of us are sitting in this room, and it's 20 below zero outside, and if you see someone freezing outside, are you going to sit in here and pray for them? Let's just pray. Because I hear that people, I just pray, 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 pray. That's all I do. You got to do something. Faith without works is dead. Are you going to go out there and ask them to come in, give them a coat? We got to do something. So faith without works is dead. And that really helped me. You know how things just stick in your mind that you just hear all the time when someone I see that really needs help, or some that you can see it. What do I do? When you see someone sitting alone in an AA meeting, what do you do? You know, it's so important. I'm really, you know, when I was first sober, I got a job and I was traveling doing these changeovers in Rose's department store with someone in A gave me a job to do. And I remember I was out of town a lot, my first couple months. And I remember that I would go to an AA meeting and no one would say a word to me. No, you know, and this was in Norfolk, actually. I came into Norfolk in Virginia Beach. No one said anything to me, and I was by myself. I was sitting, you know. And there's two things that came out of it. One, I didn't want to be that person. I want to be able to say hello to every single person. Christy's that way, too. I like to, hey, you know, I'm so glad you're here. Would you join us? But it also taught me that I'm responsible, too, to going up to people. You know, even if I am alone, I need to go up and say. When I was in treatment, they said, everybody get in a circle, and they kept someone out of that circle. And they said, how would you get into that circle? What would you do? You know, would you not do it because you're too scared? Would you, like, please, may I come in? You know, my answer was I was going to barge in there and just take their hands and become part of that circle. And that is me. That's my personality. It may not be yours. So I am that type of person that's going to go up to someone. And I'm glad I am, and some people aren't. That's why people, if they're in your home groups, are too shy to this. The best job for them is a greeter. Mm-hmm. Let them greet, because it will get you out of that. It will get you out of self. And but I just thought it was so important to, if you see somebody that needs something, put into action about the faith. Thanks.
Thanks, Sammy.
Alcoholic named Christy Ellis.
Christy.
And still great to be with you lovely people. And nothing's changed. My sobriety is still the same. I still have a sponsor. I still have the same girls, I think. I've checked my phone, maybe, and somebody's texted me that they want somebody else or something. But it's I have a home group that I'm still going to go to tomorrow. And I'm joking and being light, because we've been together and we're sharing some good time together. And I love 10, 11, and 12. I mean, I love all the steps. It's funny. Every time I read a part of the book, I go, oh, my God, it's my favorite part of the book. You know, and it's like, I love the book, you know, I just love the book, you know, and it's always such a joy to talk about, you know, thank God, you know, for 10 and 11 and 12, I call them the living in today steps, and 10 is so great. I mean, I was just thinking while Sammy was, you know, going through and talking about it, and you know, I pointed my fingers, I've talked about that, I pointed my fingers at folks my entire life, and 10, you know, by the time I'm at step 10, you know, my sponsor's saying now, you know, as you go through your day and interact with other people, you look at you first. And it's become really neat practicing that, like she talked about. You know, when something happens, I don't immediately look out. I look in. Did I have a part? Did I do this? Do I have any responsibility in this? It's not, and it just takes a second to look, and it's so freeing to be able to go, oh my gosh, I made a boo-boo, let me fix it, go to them if I have to. Sometimes it's just fix it and move on because nobody even knows. I mean, God knows and you know. And the thing is, I know. And even if I just know, because see, this step to me, I talked about the loose ends I came in with. This helps keep the loose ends away. This is the, you know, keeps that, oh, I'm not creating loose ends. And this helps me stay in today, stay current with people, take care of my business, not create extra stress in my life. And I love it. It's got the prescription, what I need to do when things happen, you know, because they're going to happen. I'm going to get fearful. I'm going to have all those things happen. And it just tells me what to do. And it talks about my next function and that she's already talked to. And she said, and it says, we've entered the world of the spirit. And that's that place within myself, all that good stuff that's been going on inside of me that I had no clue was like as big as it is that, you know, that I've tapped into that source and I've got cleaned house and I've made amends. And now, I mean, I'm like, it's time for me to go out and share it. It's time for me to get busy, you know, be a good example and demonstrate, you know, what the third step was talking about, demonstrate through my life and be that attractive person. And I'm not walking around with signs saying, hey, look at me. It's just what I do. I can't reiterate that enough. You know, it's the legs on your prayer stuff. Like she was talking about I heard a little old guy say that one time, and I just loved it. You know, put legs on your prayers, Christy. You know, and he said, another one said, you know, the minute you're willing to change, you've already started changing. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Mm-hmm. That was so much hope in that. I was really brand new. And I was like, wow, I love that. You know, and so it gives me the prescription of what to do. And it talks, and I had to have it explained to me about asking God at once. You know, I've had sponsees come to me saying, I asked God and he didn't remove it. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, we ask him at once and move on. It's not like he's going to like little magic wand. Okay, Christy, now that's gone. And sometimes that something that little can really mess with us. You know, it's just like the spiritual experience in the back of the book that, you know, made reference to last night. People thinking that they're supposed to have Bill Wilson's experience. You know, it's just having someone explain it to me and helping me understand this. So what 10 does for me, it keeps, you know, the loose ends away. It helps me stay current. It talks to me about, you know, how I'm headed for trouble if I'd let up on things, because alcohol is very subtle. And I have alcoholism, not wasm. And I'm going to continue to have to take care of my business. And that means that, you know, I might be okay for a day or two, maybe. Might even for a little while. I've watched people. But then all of a sudden, you know, Eric's disease is very subtle. Mm-hmm. And things will start changing. And all of a sudden, we're not okay. And it's very sneaky. And I've watched that happen to people. And they've struggled getting back. And they have a reference point. They know it can be good. But they got, you know, and it's amazing how quickly it will turn around. But it's the promises that Sammy went through, I'm not going to go through them. I just make reference to one of them I like. It will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us. It's a gift. It's a gift. Mm-hmm. There's so many gifts. You know, who knew? I don't have I don't have to worry about the power of choice anymore because there is no choice because it's been removed. You know, I don't think about drinking. Thank God. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, it's just moving forward, and it's a natural reaction because I'm doing this thing. And so I keep moving forward, and it says everything's contingent on the daily maintenance of our spiritual condition. And it is. What I do today has everything to do with my sobriety today. I cannot live on yesterday's stuff. I can't, you know, I hear some folks say I used to be a GSR, and yeah, I used to do all that stuff, and I just leave that stuff up to y'all. And what I think is I'm sad for them because this gift, it's a gift in the present. And this is one of the things, I mean, we have to do all this to keep the gift. And I stress that as much as I can. My life is what it is today because of what I do. It is. And it will stay that way because of what I do. And you know what? Yep, sometimes it's inconvenient. Yep, it's a whole lot of stuff. But I'll tell you what, it's a small price to pay for my life. Mm-hmm. A small price. You know, and it's just, it's become such part of what I do in my legs. I mean, we were talking about at lunch, my feet are trained to take me there. I can't imagine living any other way. I have no mental defense against this process. What I like about 10 is the example I can be in other people's lives. I love the fact that, and you know, little did I know that everything I was doing prior to that prepared me to be able to practice 10. You know, to be able to look people in the eye and say, gosh, I messed up. I apologize. You know, let me do that. Let me take. And people freak out when you want to take responsibility these days. I mean, it's, they're like, really? But most people like to hide it and do all that. And they're like, wow. Well, what an example. And also, when we do that with folks in and out of sobriety, anybody, we're creating a relationship with them where they feel like they can be themselves with us. I mean, that's a gift we pass on. We find that for ourselves, but we're also allowing others to feel that way. One time, my son and I went over to, we were picking up something, and they didn't take checks. And I don't know why, I don't get an attitude often, but I am human and I can. And I got an attitude because they wouldn't take my check. And I was like, you know, and I just wasn't real nice about it. And I'm driving away, and he's with me. And I'm thinking, and I knew that I wasn't nice about it because I had that feeling in my stomach. And I was like, man. So I picked up the phone, and we had driven too far for me to go back, but I called him. I said, this is a lady, that crazy woman that was just in there. And I am so sorry. I was so rude to you. And mm-hmm. If there anything I can do, I'll come back. I just really, and my son's like going, watching. But wow, what an impact on him. I mean, teaching them to be that way. I mean, he's watching his mom make a mistake, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just that kind of stuff. Being willing to just be who we are. And a lot of that comes also from what I've talked about, knowing the truth of my condition. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, I know so much about me. I know I can be bossy. I know I want things my way. I know that I'm this, that. I know those things about me. And the thing is, and my husband, he is a lot easygoing guy. A lot of y'all know him. Best guy I've ever known. And he slows me down. I speed him up. And we met in AA service. We married 13 years in a few weeks. We met in AA service. We got 6 kids between us, 4 dogs. I love a quantity thing, you know. And it's just, but we have a good life. And it's like, he gets me, not just as an alcoholic. He gets me. You know, and he allows me to be me, and I allow him to be him. And that's what AA's given me, is the ability to be myself in all relationships. Because I could never date the nice guys or be with the people that had it together because I couldn't keep up the facade. Mm-hmm. Even though that they'd invite me to be a part of, and I hung out and grew up in that world, I just couldn't keep up the facade. I was so mixed up inside and so insecure, and that disconnect I've talked about, that I talked myself out of feeling like I belonged. And I talked myself out of a lot of stuff, and I believed myself for a long time, you know. And I could have all the evidence in the world, all that info God gives me, and I'd still think I knew different, you know. And the great thing about 10 is, you know, living in the moment, living in today, you know, being the best person I can be, you know, being honest. There's that honest thing again. You know, being able to be a great example for my children. You know, when I got sober, y'all said, take this thing home, and I did. My kids were 8, 7, and 5. I was a single mom for 10 years, you know, and I really I'm so grateful because I've watched these people grow up into these really healthy spiritual people, principled people. You know, and I'm just like marvel at some of the stuff they do. I'm like, wow. And I know that's y'all. It's not me. God just used me to show them. And y'all showed me. And this process, you know, helped me become that person, that mom. And I'm so close to them, and I always have been. You know, and it's just, you know, my older son, you know, when he asks this girl to marry him, he calls me after he asks her. And he said, Mama, I just want to thank you for helping me be a man that he would want to marry, that mm-hmm. she would want to marry. And I was like, wow. He said, single mom, all the things you did, and just going, and he said, and going to AA, and how you've just grown. He said, I just watched you, and you've just helped me be that person. And I was just like, I don't get speechless much, and I really was. I was so touched. I was just like, this is not about me, and he's calling to thank me. And this is my kid. And my daughter, her whole life, she always said, Mama, I'll be just like you. Mama, I want to just be just like you. This little girl, when I got sober, you know, I'm rebuilding. And like I said, my parents, they could have helped me a lot. And, you know, and I wanted to do it on my own, you know. And I'd let them do the grandparent stuff. They bring, groceries over because I wasn't making it on my paychecks. But, I mean, I got my first job $7 an hour. That ain't a whole lot. That was in 1988. And their dad had to start paying me child support because I was actually acting like somebody that deserved to get it. But I, So, but he was in and out of, I was in and out of court with him a lot, and unfortunately, he really was, hasn't been a great father to them, and he has a bad disease. And that's something that happened to me through all of this, which, you know, my heart was healed, and I feel compassion for him. And Dennis and I have told him if there's anything we can do to help him, we will. And that's not the girl that walked in here with hate in her heart about mm-hmm. the way he treated those kids and what he's even continued to do through the years. But that's their relationship, mm-hmm. you know, and I've taught them it's what you bring to it. You know, it's what you do that counts. It's not what others do. You know, and you have to create, do that, and that's your deal. But, you know, and this little girl, you know, it's my, I think I was sober 2 years, and she, at Christmas, she brought me a bra. She knew I pinned my bras together. Because, and she'd sit in bed crying, thinking about her mama doing that, working hard. And she had babysitting money and bought me one for Christmas. Mm. Wow. I mean, that's what happens here. We live a life that, and we touch people's lives. And my little boy, my youngest guy, he's like, this girl really liked him a lot, and she just didn't feel the same way. And he said, I said, what happened to that girl? I really liked her. He said, you know, Mom, I just didn't feel the right same about her, and I didn't think it was fair to lead her on. I'm like going, what? What the heck is that? I'm going to make sure I got somebody else first, you know? I mean, he, you know, and he doesn't care. Oops. Oh. He doesn't care. He doesn't care, you know? It's like, oh my gosh, I'm so, and I just, and you know what I do when these things happen? I look up and I say, thank you. And I say, thank you, God, for allowing me this opportunity to be in this world, because I should be dead based on everything I've done. I really should. And for having the ability to have, you know, principles in my life that I can share and to be a good example for all that are around me. You know, and those kids, I mean, through the years, I can name countless things like that. And they're just these fine people. And my sons will call me and tell me stuff I don't want to know. My daughter tells me stuff I don't want to know. And I'm just like, yeah, good. And my son, one of them was riding with a friend one day. And he said, he called me, he said, yeah, my guy, that friend of mine was in the car. He was saying, are you telling your mama all that stuff? He said, yeah, I tell my mama everything. And that's what we, you know, we learn how to just be... You know, one of the greatest gifts I can do is share my story with my children. You know, because my, you know, one of them went through 4 years of crazy when he was a teenager. And the other one went through a few years when he got a little older. My daughter went through a different thing. And I was able to be in the solution and not know I couldn't fix it, but I could put them in touch with the solution. But it's all because I'm willing to do the next right thing and to take care of business in front of me. You know, and so step 10 has given me that ability to live in today. Now, again, there's countless ways, but I just think the biggest thing, what I like the most about it is being the loose end thing. That is just, because that almost killed me. Mm-hmm. And so, and what I like to say about 11 is, what 10 doesn't catch, 11 does. Mm-hmm. You know, because if I'm really doing 11, I'm going to catch the stuff that 10 didn't catch. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm so busy running around, I'm sure y'all, it's hard for y'all to imagine me going 90 miles an hour, but... that I can, like, once I laid, you know, I do, when I slow down, which I have really learned how to do through the years, and I had to learn how to do that. This program really taught me that. I can reflect back, or like Sammy said, you know, but at the end of my day, I'm looking, you know, we've got those seven questions that we can ask ourselves, and we can also look and see where God was during our day. I think it's important to see that, and that helps with that conscious contact. And then also... You know, I know a lot of folks have done the 11th step thing, you know, partners, and it's just being accountable, you know, and that's actually something that recently I've had a lot of the same girls for a long time, and one of them was struggling, and inevitably it's the 11th step. Are you doing the 11th step? And they know that's what I'm going to ask them. That is so grounding for me. I mean, I can't even imagine starting the day without it. I'm so ritualistic about it that one time I remember jumping up out of bed and I went, oh my God, I've got to do it. And I went laid back down into bed, you know, and I connected in because I am still like that. But I'm telling you guys, it is, you know, I think I said it last night, Ken D said the word spirit, rituals is in the word spiritual. And it's the rituals that have saved me. I'm a very, mm-hmm. I think that way anyway, and it does discipline me, but I do really well with structure, and I know the perimeters, and tell me what to think, tell me what to do, and I work really well that way. That's how I am. And you know, starting my day that, and I even, you know, I remember going over it with one of my sponsees one time, and she said, oh my God, I'll be late for work if I do all that. And I was like, no, we're talking about it, making it sound big, but it's not. You know, but it, again, it's your life depends on it, small price. Mm-hmm. And so, and plus, you know, making good decisions depends on it. Because if, you know, if I don't connect in, I no telling what kind of decisions I'm going to make based on emotions and fear and God knows what else. But when I go to bed at night, you know, and Sammy said it, I don't destructively, I don't tear myself down. I look for where God was. You know, where was God today? You know, and I give God, you know, I don't take responsibility for it. And I don't go off in the weeds feeling sorry for myself and creating all this stuff and destroying what that. And it, but it's a beautiful way to lay there and just reflect and journal. I journaled a lot. When I first got sober, I think I journaled the first 5 or 6 years. And I mean, even in my jobs, I would sit there because I was at a computer. And I mean, I still got all those papers. I would just type anything that was going through my head, anything. You know, and that's kind of 10-step stuff. But it, I'm telling you, getting that, and I couldn't, like, call my sponsor. And we didn't have cell phones back then. It wasn't on this instant, where's my sponsor? You know, that kind of, it was, you know, we're at work. You don't make a bunch of phone calls at work because you're at work. And you go, or do it on your lunch hour. And so, you know, I would type all that out, what was going on with me. And, boy, that helped. It was just getting that stuff out of me, you know, because I couldn't talk to somebody. But just writing it down, and I'm telling you, it's so neat to do that. But I journaled every day at night, and I'm not going to say every single day because I don't do everything every single day. But I did it as much, a lot more than I didn't do it. And it helped me create a relationship with myself because I didn't realize I didn't have one. I didn't have a relationship with me. I didn't really know me. It's like, what do I like to do? Well, I don't know, you know. And I'll run into people. I'll say, well, what do you like to do? Well, I don't know. Well, write it down. What you like to do, and then check off how many of them you're doing. Because this thing's about living, embracing the world, doing the stuff we like. I love to read. I used to get lost in books, love books. And I realized I wasn't really reading a lot anymore, and I love to read. You know, I have some things that are just things I really love to do. Doing that, and but really looking and seeing how I've grown too in a positive way, not just, you know. But I remember giving my girls that, just tell them, we had a book study one night, and I said, y'all just start journaling and write to answer the questions, and I'll be daggone if the next night one of them didn't text me and say, I need to talk to somebody right now, are you available? And I'm like, she's doing it, you know, good. Mm-hmm. And so it's amazing how just these simple things we do will just help us, because, you know, life is good. Hey, it's great. But that doesn't mean that, I mean, I'm an alcoholic. I'm wired a certain way. Things are going to bother me, and I can pretend they're not. I'm a good pretender. We already talked about that. We're all make-believe, pretend, fantasy, yay. You know, but it's not, that's not real. And I want to live in the reality. So it's important for me to do this. Those little teeny things, they'll mess me up bad. Those little teeny things, it's not the big stuff. I handle that fine. It's that little teeny thoughts that go through my head or crazy stuff or, you know, I know, like, when you're blowing your hair dry, you can go 0 to 60 with the situation. Yeah. You know, it's like you're sitting there and you're thinking, and all of a sudden, I know one of my girls, she, you know, she was worried about, I call my sponsees my girls like I'm a madam or something, but, anyway. And she called me and she said, God, I was just so worried about, you know, going to court over the kids. And the next thing you know, I mean, oh no, about not being able to see my kids this weekend. The next thing you know, she's in court with them, you know, in 60 seconds, you know, we're 0 to 60 and her mind's moving that quickly. And the thing is, we can tell each other that stuff and we're like, yep, makes sense. You know, we get that. We tell somebody else, they'll be like, what? You know, you need help. Have you thought about going to therapy? There's something wrong with you, you know, but we're like, yeah, I know, I was thinking about that the other day, you know. You know, it's just that whole understanding of each other, you know, and that connected in, and that's still the identification. Identification's huge. I think that we don't have that. I mean, I'm messed up if I'm not sitting here identifying with you, you know. And Sammy talked about, you know, making yourself a part of, you know, and that's so super important. I'm a big on the greeter thing. Anybody knows me, I'll walk around in my home group and say, hey, everybody. I'll go to meetings that I've never been to and say, hey, everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, and Dennis and I would travel and people would say, is this your home group? I'd say, I've never been here before. You know, but I'm just like connecting in and it's cool. And we had a neat experience once. We were traveling and we went to New Jersey and we go to this meeting and there's like one old home group member there, some guy visiting, somebody just got out of treatment. It was about six or seven of us. Nobody had been there in a while, but we all knew what to do. We found the cabinet and everybody was putting the meeting together. It was so cool. And they called it the candlelight meeting and they lit a candle to get their, to show their home group members where to come. I said, get up, you need to get a fire going. Ain't nobody here. You know, what if a new, and there was a new person there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow. But what was cool to me was that, you know, and that may have nothing to do with what we're talking about. I'm just talking. So anyway, and it's all ties into step 12, mm-hmm. which we'll talk about in a minute. But, you know, the 11th step, you know, in the morning when I wake up and connect in, I lay there for a moment and I connect in. That, you know, and Dennis and I have this saying, we don't make big decisions like that. We sleep on them. And I do that myself. I know how I really feel about something when I first wake up. And I ain't talked to anybody. It's just me and God. I haven't had anything influence my thinking. And that's when I'm the clearest about something. I know how I feel about it. And I'll tell the girls, I'll say, wake up. When you first wake up, how do you feel? And you'll know how you feel. Because somebody's like, I don't know how to feel. Sleep on it. You'll know how you feel. And that's what it is. I'm clear. I'm connecting in. I'm looking at the next 24 hours. I'm a planner. I can remember, and it took me a while. I mean, I've always wanted God's will in my life. But to get there has been a process. I mean, I can remember an earlier sobriety saying, God, I really want your will in my life, but tell me what it is so I can start planning. You know, I want to know. So I got to know what's going on, you know, because I didn't have any faith. I didn't have any faith, you know. Like I believed in God, but he wasn't in my heart. I didn't have any faith. It's like that jumping, stepping ashore stuff it talks about in We Agnostics. It's, you know, do I really trust God's in charge? Well, if I do, I need to act like it. You know, and that's what I say. I need to act like God's in charge if I really believe it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's really, it's a process. And this is part of the stuff that disciplines me to do that. And it's saying, okay, you know, God's in charge. You know, what do I need to do? If, you know, divorce me from that stuff that really gets me in trouble. You know, that stuff that'll hold me back, paralyze me. I'll make bad decisions based on emotions and fear and all the stuff and end up in a situation that I created. You know, it'll all come back to me like it always does. And it talks about, you know, the indecision and it's like asking him to help me and then don't worry about an answer all day. You know, okay, God, I give this to you and then move on. You know, and what's happening is I'm creating a relationship with God. You know, so the journaling helps me with me and then doing this helps me with him. All of this helps me with him. And what happens is that, and it talks about finding that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration, and we come to rely on it. And that's, I rely on God. It's a God consciousness or your higher power, you know, but it's a God consciousness. I don't rely on sponsors and meetings and all that stuff. That's not my reliance needs to be. My reliance needs to be on God. I am just a link in the chain for the people that I sponsor. You know, God just uses me to show them what I've done, and that's all I can do. But they need to develop their own relationship with God. That's the whole deal, you know, so they can go out and help God's kids. You know, and we've talked a lot about that. And then concluding this period of meditation with the prayer will be shown all through the day what our next step is to be. My prayers are very simple. Thy will, not mine, be done. Mm-hmm. You know, basically, I just want your will in my life, God. And I really do, and I want you to help God's kids. And if I can be of any help in that way, let me be. You know, I ask him and I thank him for allowing me the opportunity to do that because I feel like everything I get to do is a gift. I talk, you know, going to the jail and sitting with those 50 women on Tuesday night, what a gift, a privilege to sit there and touch people's lives. I mean, wow. I mean, I got teary-eyed the other night just looking around at them because they are hungry for it. They get it once, you know, well, this program gets a little more than that, but they're so excited when we come because we're talking about this book. We're the only ones bringing this book into them, and they're just like hungry and want to know what words mean and excited, and they're starting to understand themselves. I mean, what a privilege, you know, to be able to be in that position to touch people's lives like that. And it also talks about praying with other people. And husband and I pray together every morning. You know, I'm not with him, you know, at home today, so nobody knew, but I'm standing in the middle of Starbucks on the phone with him, praying on the phone. This morning we were there, and I did, and we just did, and it doesn't matter. We pray. whenever. And I can remember when I first got sober, and you know, I had the three small children, I'm working a full-time job, I'm running, those kids were involved in a lot, I went to AA all the time, I took the kids with me. Girls that have, people that try to tell me I got kids, I can't do it, I'm not the person to talk to, because I'm, you know, I took them and I did it, and I didn't miss a beat, and the kids never felt like they were less important. You know, they got to do all their stuff. I just was blessed with a lot of energy, you know, where I could, and people that support from my family and single moms and all, we'd get together and have meetings and trade off. And I mean, if you want to do it, there's a way to do it. You know, it's a way to do it. And so I would be, you know, going and doing, and I think I just totally lost my train of thought. I did. My brain was just, woo. What was I talking about?
Praying with others.
Say that again?
Praying with others.
Oh, praying with others. Yeah, husband in the middle of Starbucks. And so, wow, I can go in the weeds really easy. So we went from that to early sobriety and the women, girls coming over with their kids. Wow. All right, so anyway, my point is being oh, I know what I was going to say. So I'm running out the door every morning, going to work, getting the kids to school. And I'm like, so before I leave, I'm a ritual girl, remember? So I'm looking at my book that they gave us about my meditation book in the morning. I'm going, okay, blah, 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 read my meditation, da, 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 da. And I'm getting to work and I'm thinking, I don't even remember a word that book said. So, you know, we learned, you know, adjust it. I took the book with me to work. You know, I took the kids and then I went in the bathroom and read the book, you know, in privacy. Who cares where it is? My point being is, just do it, you know. And sometimes we got to adjust our lives according to what's going on. You know, my kids were young. You know, I had to adjust things. And the older they got, the more I could adjust things. I've always done a lot of service. I couldn't do a lot of out-of-town service and because they were younger. But when they got older, I could. So I adjust my life as my life's changed. But I haven't not done any of it. You know, there's no hard and fast. It's just they're valuable suggestions that save your life, you know. And again, it's all about, you know, what I'm willing to do. And I just, what I love about Alcoholics Anonymous, it's everything's important, you know. My sobriety's most important. But it's like I had to look at life as like this. Everything's important. When I'm at work, I need to be at work. When I'm at home, I need to be at home. If the phone rings and somebody needs me, then I need to go do that. It's like, it's all important. I don't have to try to pick what's the most important. I just got to be willing to be there and be of service and that do the next right thing, plain and simple. So I pray with husband in the morning, and that has been so cool. You know, that's just something very special. And sometimes on the weekends, we have to remember because our schedule's a little off. And we'll be like leaving to go somewhere, and we're like, oh my God, we didn't pray. And we might have had argue, but disagreed about something a little while, you know, prior to that. And I'll say, and I'll go, you know what, we didn't pray. And I'm like, that matters. You know, we'll pray, and it's like, it changes everything. I mean, I love being married to someone in Alcoholics Anonymous. And for me, it's the right thing. I mean, God picked him out. That's why it works, that's for sure. And not me, because I don't pick good people. But, it, you know, it's I got plenty of references, that's for sure. Yeah, and they probably wouldn't want to hear from you, but that's, it's, or me. But anyway, so that's a really powerful thing that we share in our relationship. And then I love the 11th step promises. And then it refers us back to the three relationships with God again, you know, and as we're going to go out and do his work. And truly, I think if anything's off, I have to really look and see, am I really doing my 11th step? You know, 10th step, it's so natural, like Sammy said. I mean, it's just been natural. But, you know, it's if it just becomes like brushing your teeth when you get into bed at night, do your 11 step, you know, and make time. And when I go on vacation, I don't go on vacation from recovery, you know, or doing my rituals. I do it there. I tell my girls I don't go on vacation for being a sponsor. You call me when I'm, you know, text me, call me. I mean, this stuff's every day. You know, I need this stuff every day, and that's what it's telling me. And the thing is, wow, we get some amazing stuff out of it. You know, and I get to live another good day and help God's kids and be that person and continue to become that person, because continue is a key word for me. You know, I'm 26 years sober, so what? I'm still growing. You know, the last 8 months, and I'm going to close with this. The agency that I loved and thought I would work at, because, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to be places. That's something I've learned. Walk through the door and I don't know how long I'm going to be places. I was an amazing job. I fell into nonprofits in 1995. And from working with being the corrections chair for Intergroup, I worked with the jails. I was the link in the chain between this organization, OAR, and AA to coordinate people to go, get volunteers to go into all the jails. The girl that coordinated was going to have a baby. She calls me and she said, "Christy, I want you to apply for my job." I was like, "What?" I mean, I drank way out of college. I got the felony on my record. You know, I'm thinking, well, even though I was able to go into jails, but again, I'm trying to talk you out of giving me the good thing. And so I'm naming all the reasons why you shouldn't be doing it. And I said, and that's, you know, one of my, you know, there's lots of, but that's one of my earlier stories about walk through the door because you don't know where you're going to land. And God's got the plan. And I applied, and they waived the education requirement and everything and hired me. And I mean, I'm like pinching myself going, "Oh, my God." So you don't know where you're going to land. And that set me off in working in nonprofits, and which I love, you know, just love helping others and doing that and just being of service. And so then through the years, I've had a lot of different jobs. One has prepared me for the next, as it does. I'm the sum total of everything I do, as Emmett Fox says. And last April, Freedom House closed, 3 weeks' notice. So we worked with the homeless and ran the soup kitchen and 2 shelters in Richmond. Man, I was just loving it. Had a great work family, loved it. I would worked a lot of hours, and it didn't feel like work. You know, I just felt so grateful to do it, and I got to meet so many amazing people, and I got to really feel gratitude hugs of people that didn't have anything, and just really, and some of them I'd see in meetings and got the biggest kick out of me being in recovery. I wouldn't disclose it to them there, but they'd see me, they'd go, "Oh, Miss Christy," and I'd be like, "Yeah," and I said, "Yeah, man, you know, we're, you know," and they just get so, it'd be like a secret they thought they had with me, you know, and it was cool, you know, and so just being able to do that, and I just felt, I remember this guy would always knock on the door. They called him Popeye, which is sad because one of his eyes got messed up in a bar fight. And you know how we nickname people. I didn't nickname him. But I asked him one day, and this is so humbling, he asked me if he could have another pair of pants because he'd wet his britches. And I'm like looking at that man saying, and nobody else would have gotten it, but you will. That's me. There for the grace of God go I. He couldn't get sober. And he was my age. And he came in, and I still remember, and I felt, wow, I would have missed this if I hadn't gotten sober and done the stuff that I've done to be put in a position to be able to be there. Because some of the people there didn't get it. And I'd say, let me answer the door whenever he comes. Kristen worked there. She knows. And they didn't get it, you know, but I did. And I found out he was my age. And I said, you know what? I said, what's your real name? And it's Richard. I said, well, that's what I'm going to call you. And I said, and you know what? If you ever want to do anything different, let me know. I know some guys that will help you out. And that's what we do. We're put in positions to do that. You know, and it closed. And I thought, oh my gosh, it closed. 3 weeks notice, they told us the agency was closing, and it about blew me out the water. So for 8 months, I didn't have a job. Now, I did one job, and I couldn't physically do it. And y'all have taught me, if you can't do it, you can't do it. That was human. Mm-hmm. I have a physical condition, and it affected it, and I couldn't do it. And I started crying and surrendered and said, okay, I can't do it, God. And I was okay, because all through the 8 months, I knew, because I had enough experience through the years. I got many stories I can share, bukus of them, of me landing in amazing places just because I believed and was willing to walk through the door. And so I had the 8 months that, you know, God slowed me down. I realized that I'm not my job. It doesn't matter where I go, that it's me be the best person I can be. And you see, I already thought I believed that, but it wasn't all the way in my heart. Like I thought, it's like, I am me no matter where I go. Whether I'm sitting here with you, where I'm working at a grocery store, where I'm walking, doing whatever. I am me. I just have to be the best me. And so that 8 months prepared me, and I started a new job in January. It's a nonprofit, working from home. And who would have thought this busy 90 miles away hour girl, I could never have gone from Freedom House straight to that. But that 8 months prepared me, and I slowed down like I never have. I started just... I mean, Sammy and I talked a lot through that, and what a spiritual experience it was for me, you know, and I'm 25 years sober, and this is happening, and I'm like, wait a minute, this wasn't in the plan here, you know, and but it happened, and so because I have tools in my life, I could say, okay, I just got to walk with it. He must have something else planned, somewhere else he wants me to work, and he does, and I ended up falling into another nonprofit, and it's around education, great cause, and it's better in every way that it could be, and we just had a staff retreat this week, and I've been getting to know people virtually. I'm learning, you know, that uses, I'm a boomer, so Skype, and doing everything electronically, and Google Docs, and all this, and it's awesome, and I know some of you are like, yeah, big deal, I'm a boomer, honey, I'm 57 years old, you know, we write everything down, and so, I mean, I've always used computers, but my point would be, and is, that, you know, doing these things, we become disciplined, and just being willing to do the work and land where and walk through the door and trust. Because at this point, I trust that God's got the plan, and my responsibility is just to go out into the world and share and be the best person I can be and be willing to do it anywhere. You know, like Sammy was in early sobriety. She was willing to do it anywhere. I took a $7 job, you know, because I was willing to do whatever I needed to do. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's humility. It's just, I got to do what I got to do. God's in charge. I just got to do it. I don't know what his will is, but I don't want what I want. I want it, what he wants. And so, you know, because of all these things, you know, here I am, you know, and who knows how long I'll be there. I said, I don't know how long I'll be there, but I'm going to be the best person I can be while I am. Thank you. Thank you.
That was wonderful. So everything that we've been talking about for the last few hours is going to lead us up to the next hour. Mm-hmm. We step 12. So let's take a break and come back at 1:30. Mm-hmm.